want to talk football and baseball, of course. But I know what happened last weekend. But what do you have to say about what happened at the Kentucky Derby last week?
Yeah, and we spent, you know, 90 seconds talking about it earlier this week. I think it's just another black eye for the sport. This is the second Derby in the last 3 years where we had chaos at the track. Now, you know, 2 years ago, or 3 years ago for that matter, they made the correction, right? Maximum Security won the race, but they went and checked it, and they DQ'd the horse at the race. So if you had the winning horse, at least you lost the money that day. But this time around, you know, Bob Baffert and the horse, again, gets juiced, and Medina Spirit, all those bets cash. But if you had the second horse or the third horse, you got screwed out of a potential 27-1 payout. Like, that horse had finished in second, Mandaloon, a half length behind. If you had $100 on that horse, you should have won $2,700 because, in all reality, that was the horse that deserves the win. Because it wasn't graded that way the day of the race, you don't win. You win, but you lose.
That's amazing to me, and I didn't realize he was 27-1. 3 years ago, the horse was disqualified not because of drugs, but because of the maneuver on the track, right?
Yeah, he blocked one of the horses on the rail or in the middle or whatever. I can't remember exactly where the horse was, but he obstructed the path for one of the horses to charge toward the front. So that was more of a tactical scratch. But I would argue this one is tougher because I've had so many people in the last 4 days that either have a ticket on the horse that finished in second or threw up their ticket on the horse that finished in second. And all these people, they see the disqualification and they think that they're, but that's not the way it works in horse racing. That's the way the wagers are graded the day of the race, that's final, man. It doesn't matter. Like, that horse can do whatever you want, and it doesn't matter. The bets aren't refunded, and they're not paid out when things are changed days after the race.
Okay, I understand that, I guess, but then what's the point of testing the horse at all? I mean, if you're not going to test him that day and pay the second horse that legitimately won, then why test the winning horse afterwards? Now you just muddy the whole thing.
The better question is, how does this horse potentially race, you know, Saturday?
Yeah.
You know, Medina
before
Spirit could race on Saturday. And here's the other thing. Baffert's going to have another horse in the race on Saturday. And if he's able to get two horses in a race 2 weeks after his horse gets caught for doping, how the hell does that happen? Not only does the horse who got caught for doping get to race, but, oh, hey, buddy, we're going to let a second horse race. So it's like, you should know that this guy has a cloudy past. This is not the first or second time this has happened. But horse racing continues to open the gate, no pun intended, and let this guy continue to have the opportunity. If one of his horses wins again this weekend and gets scratched, then what do we do?
It just makes no sense that they don't test the horses at the track or the day before. I don't know how you do that, but you're absolutely right. If my point is they should test the horse after the race, and I think they should. I mean, we do this to NBA players. Why not test them before and after? Why not continually test them that week before and after the race? That makes perfect sense to me. Wow. And boy, if I had a 27-1 ticket, $100, and I just lost. And maybe I had a $200 ticket, and it's $5,400 that I should get, but I won't. It's going to be hard to sell the next bet to people when they know that the thing's kind of rigged against them.
It's just tough to get re-racked and ready. Like, it's tough for me as somebody who analyzes sports and always tries to find an edge. It's hard for me to get excited to bet the Preakness now, even though it's a couple days away, and usually I get the horse hitch around this time. It's tough because I might make the right bet, but it might not win. I mean, I talked to a couple people that made future bets on Mandaloon back in February. Remember, you could bet this stuff January or February, months before the Kentucky Derby. I know a guy who had a 100-1 ticket on Mandaloon. He's a winner, man. He's a winner. He made the right bet. He bet 100 and 100-1. He should have made 10,000, but because the horse was a half length late and was beaten by a doped horse, that bet that should have won doesn't win. Those are the breaks in horse racing.
Talk to me about the Bears' schedule. We now have the schedule. We have a new quarterback who hasn't played a down in the NFL. What's the news there, and what's the wagering there?
I know some fans are already putting Justin Fields in the Hall of Fame, which is wild. You know, hasn't taken a snap yet, but here's my life yesterday, May 12th. The NFL schedule is slowly getting leaked. As the games are getting leaked, and we heard about Chicago and the Rams on Sunday night, it'll be Bears and Rams on the 12th of September. Point spreads are coming out as the schedule is getting released. So we're not only talking about what are the games going to be in 5 months from now, we're talking about what the point spreads are going to be. And Chicago's going to play, hey, come and get it, Sunday Night Football, week number one in Los Angeles. And I'll tell you what, man, if I'm the NFL and I want my youth on display, I don't think you go into Sunday Night Football planning to see Andy Dalton on Sunday night, week one. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think that's a spot where you go, yeah, let's put Andy Dalton on national television. I think all signs are pointing to Justin Fields starting week number one. You might as well play him. I mean, there's really nothing to lose. The defense is built to win now. Let's see what the kid's got. I think you honestly have a fair shot for a rookie quarterback starting in Chicago week number one.
I remember the Bears. This is my recollection of the Bears, that the defense wasn't as good in the second half last year as we thought. Is the Bears defense shored up and all we have to worry about is the quarterback?
I don't know that it's shored up. They were a little banged up on the injury side of things. They had a couple guys that just couldn't stay healthy. But, you know, defense more than any other side of the ball, you know, offense, special teams, defense is really about effort. And I think that team lost faith in the coaching staff and they lost faith in the quarterback. And here's another thing. The Bears offense, they never really had the ball last year. You know, you play a 60-minute game. If they've got the ball 25 minutes, that means the defense is on the field for 35, sometimes 40 minutes a game. They were burned out. They were banged up. In some weird roundabout way, if you get a quarterback that can move the chains and keep the offense on the field, it sort of makes the defense better, if that makes any sense. But this is very similar to that Bears defense in 2011, 2012, where the Urlachers and the Briggses and the Tillmans, they're getting up there, man. Bears got some guys, Khalil Mack, Danny Trevathan, Akeem Hicks. This is probably the last year or two together where they're all healthy and they still have juice left at the tank. So the defense has to win this year or next year, and you had to put a Band-Aid on that quarterback cut.
17 games this year, and I think last week you told us the win total was 7.5. Is that the number? Has it moved?
Yeah, PointsBet has 7.5. It's now more expensive to bet over. So it was juiced to the under before the draft, and now PointsBet is making it a little bit more expensive to go over. It's now -115 to go over 7.5. So we've just essentially changed the juice on the bet, but that's the bet still, 7.5. So if you like the over, you need 8 wins or more. If you like the under, you're rooting for 7 or less. I think it's a really good number, and here's the other caveat. There's been a lot of smoke, I'm sure you've seen, about potentially, you know, getting Aaron Rodgers out of May. You can bet the Bears win total over right now, 7.5. And if Rodgers does get traded, your bet stays. It stands. So if you think that Rodgers is gone, and many people do, you'll see that win total for Chicago go from 7.5 to maybe a whole win higher at 8.5. And that Packer total, that's going to drop a win or two. You're betting on that, too. That's all baked into the equation. But if you think Rodgers is gone, you may want to bet that Chicago over now, because that total will go up if Rodgers gets traded.
Did you see the White Sox playing this well, this early, with two of their marquee players down?
Best record in baseball, which is wild, yeah, because, you know, last week I was taking Tony La Russa to task. I still think he makes some questionable decisions, but, you know, at the end of the day, the players have to play. You know, it's that old conversation, what's the manager worth? I think sometimes we put the manager under the microscope, especially after a bad decision or two. But in 34 games, you know, they're 21-13. They've won 62% of their baseball games, and they are liable, you know, in Vegas. A lot of books don't want this team to win the pennant or to win the World Series, because a lot of sharp bettors coming into the year, they bet this team to win the pennant, to win the World Series. There's a lot of money in the kitty on the White Sox, and in all reality, it's their pitching staff. We talk about Tim Anderson and Jose Abreu and Yoan Moncada and all that. They have the lowest ERA of any rotation in baseball. And they got guys that are just zipping strikes and getting outs. And really, Lucas Giolito hasn't been that good. We thought Giolito was going to be, you know, a Cy Young candidate. It's been pretty much everybody else. And Giolito's been okay. But this team has sustained a lot of trauma with injuries. They've sustained a 76-year-old manager. And they are in first place on May 13th, and yeah, you have to like their chances. I mean, they're a playoff team that can do some damage because they're good on offense. They pitch and catch the baseball, and they're built to win, man. That's a very good team that, when they're at their best, at full strength, they might be the best team in the American League.
Is it a chicken and an egg thing? Because their hitting coach says, I don't care if we don't hit home runs. Let's just hit 300 because they don't hit home runs for some reason, especially with those two guys down. They'll get more when they come back. But who cares, right, if you hit home runs or not? Just win the damn games and put up double digits. And I kind of like that version of baseball.
This is more sustainable than those old teams. You know, I remember as a kid going to the yard. It's like, all right, well, if Frank Thomas and Paul Konerko and Carlos Lee don't all hit home runs, we're not going to win tonight. You know, it's how many different ways can you win a baseball game? They win it with great pitching.
Speed.
They win it with a good bullpen. They get on base. They drive guys in. They win in variants of ways. They don't just rely on the home run, well, which for a long time on the South Side, that was the case.
What's the number for them? I mean, maybe I should go place a wager on the White Sox to win it all this year.
Well, you missed your boat, buddy, because you can't find 10-1 anymore. That was the price on opening day on the White Sox to win the World Series. If you look at points bet they're offering right now, but actually in Chicago they're giving you a boost right now. They're still giving you 10-1 on the White Sox to win the World Series and about 4-1 on the pennant. Are you interested?
On the pennant. What's the over under for them on the win total?
Well, that's a locked in bet. That has been locked and the key's been thrown away. But the over under closed at 91. So they've got 21 right now. If you have the over, you need 70 to tie, 71 to win.
All right, we're almost out of time. You want to do the bet of the week?
Yeah, somebody fired a $25,000 bet on a football game in September yesterday at Points Bet. I don't know what the rush is to lock your money up. Now, you're not going to be able to touch that money, win or lose, until September, because these games aren't until September 12th.
Oh.
But this is further proof that the NFL will always be king. We talk about it in April. We talk about it in May. There's an event around the schedule being released, and somebody just locked up $25,000 on a game that won't be played for months. How about that?
15 seconds left. You got a pick for us this week, Sam?
I don't have a pick, but I do think Chicago getting 7 points on Sunday is a little interesting. It's a ways away, but that Bears team might surprise this year, buddy.
Sam Panayotovich joins us Thursdays at this time. You stay well, Sam. Thanks for talking to us.
You too. See ya.